nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
So this month is the month of abundance, supernatural abundance. So I trust God to speak on abundance, creating your own world. What did I say I'm speaking on? Yes, abundance, then you put hyphen, creating your own world. Praise the Lord. Through the power of your words. Through the power of your words. Amen. Now, one of the ways to really live the Christian faith is to look at God and look at patterns in God and then replicate it in your life. Praise the Lord. You look at God, you look at patterns, you look at, because we are made in His image and in His likeness. So, you look at the way God operates. And when you, then you yourself, you try to operate in that way. That's why Paul will say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I am imitating Christ, I'm following after Christ. The Bible says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We have been called to become like Him. Become like Him, to act like Him, to believe like He believes, to act the way He acts. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How did God create the world? How did God create the world? God created the world through what? Through His spoken word. If you look at Hebrews 1, He said, we understand that by faith the universe were made by the word of God. Now, is that word we want to extract? Amen. We will not have to, we just take the, wherever we take it to, you know. So, He said, we understand by what? The universe were framed by the word of God. So, is that word? Is that word? And the substance of that word we are going to be looking at and how we can apply it in our life. So, let me call up Hebrews. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Toby, you have to be fast. He said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then go to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. He said, but the heavens... Okay, Psalm 33 verse 6 first. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Okay? Now, we'll now go to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 6 and 7. He said, therefore, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's in the days of Noah. He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, he said, by the same word are kept in store. He said, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said, but what I want you to see here is that by verse 7, the heavens and the earth are kept in store. They are preserved by the word. So the word that produced everything in the first place. Then if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews 1 3. What you call word is deeper than most of us have think it is. We'll see it. You say, God who has, verse 1 and 3. Let me read it. God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Say, God uphold all things by the word of His power. And that translation says, by the power of His word. So you can see that, I want you to see that the mechanism that God is using to work, you know, the very operation of God, where the premises is standing upon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the premises is standing upon. So I say God created the first world by His word. That's both the natural world and even the spiritual world. Even the word to come, everything is going to be designed, everything will be ate out of the word. Praise the Lord. Now, is that word we want to look at? See, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In everything that God created, what are the things that have the capacity to communicate in words? How many things? I'm not talking about sound. You know, you see, there are different sounds in the world. If you look at First Corinthians 14 now, it talks about the gift of the Spirit. See, there are so many sounds in the world. He said, let us make, you know, so many times we try to talk about that image and that likeness. You know, what many things have the capability to communicate in words? You know, to communicate, even relation. Look at our lives. Everything about our life has meaning. It's on a different pedestal because of one, the understanding. Okay, having an understanding, so many creation has understanding, but at different level. But the ability to communicate and express in words. I can exactly communicate myself to you, you understand me. You can exactly communicate yourself to me and I understand you. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So the Word was a sovereign existence. It's not just that I am talking to you that is Word. In the beginning was the Word. God has not yet spoken, but yet the Word existed. He has not spoken. You know, when I speak, you say it's Word. I'm talking now. I heard him speak, you know. So that is our own literal understanding about words. That's why I'm going to extract words. You say, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was a sovereign existence of the Word. Yet it had not even been expressed. It has not yet been communicated, but it was already existing in God as Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you now begin to go through scripture, you discover that everything play around words. Everything play around words. Even the angelic conflict. What kicked it? You know, yes, what kickstarted it? I'll show you. I'll show us from the scriptures. So there are two kinds of words. There is the word that you speak now, and there is the word that is resident inside of you, which is the unspoken word. It's even, we call it unspoken word for the sake of our understanding. It's also a spoken word. It's an oracle that God reads. So you have, I say, the words you speak, and you are not opening your mouth. There are words inside. The first, I told you how I started with God, that Hebrews 11:3. That they will understand that the universe was framed by his word, by the word of God. Now, sin, where did sin originate from? How did sin start? The whole issue we have about sin. Sin. There are categories of sin. Sin are higher than sin. But I will show you the highest level of sin. The highest. Or from the Bible. How did sin start? How did sin start? Okay. Okay. Thank you. God bless you, Mama. Okay. Now, Isaiah 14, verse 13. So, you know, this capability that we have, and we are made in his image and his likeness. Yes. Part of that image is that capability, that ability for us to, even these words that he speaks. Okay. Now, he said, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Continue. Okay, let me read it from here. You have to be fast too. If I'm going to be reading what you are putting on the board. Okay. Okay. Please can put two of them together. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So go back to verse 13. Sin did not start. Satan did not go and commit adultery. You know, that's the one. Abby? He did not go and defraud somebody. He saw the spoken word in his heart. He said, for thou hast said in thy heart. Can you see the very beginning and the origin of sin? Now, you see that trail. I will now blade this trail. I'll blade through the scriptures you see. You see how profound it is. He said, for thou hast said. Where did he speak? He said, because thou you have spoken. And where did he speak? He spoke in his heart. That's why in the Bible, until iniquity was found in him. He said, for thou hast spoken in your heart. He said, I will ascend. So this, can you see the very foundation of what we call sin before? This is how it permeated the angelic cadre before it now came to the realm of men. You know, and now that you know, that one in the garden is a small, that one is a small boy shoe, it's a small thing. This is it. This is the anchor of it. From here it was meant to spread. And that's how God prepared for it. They say Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. So every other one it was bound to spread and corrupt the seed of the seed that man has put on earth. So you've seen that. Okay. Now let me show you another one. What is the highest sin that a man can commit? That when you do that one, then redemption even they look at the power of the blood. He said, but when you commit that one, the blood cannot avail again. The power of the blood does not extend to that place. Eh? Okay. Let me read it from the Bible. Matthew chapter 12. Call of verse 30. Okay. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gather not with me scatters abroad. Verse 31. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But what will not be forgiven men? He said, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Not in this world and not even in the world to come. Praise the Lord. He said, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because that is how it all started. If you now go to the operation of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. When the Bible speaks, it began unveiling the Antichrist in Revelation 13. It began with Revelation 1, where he appeared to John. Revelation 2, 3, 4, he spoke about the seven churches in Asia. Revelation 2 and 3, rather. Then Revelation 4, he saw the Father. Revelation 5, he saw Christ, you know, worthy to open the seal. He saw the Father in Revelation 4, it's similitude of the Father, let me put it that way. He saw Jesus in Revelation 5. Then Revelation 6, Jesus began to open the seal. He began opening Revelation 6 up until Revelation 11, where he said the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ up to Revelation 11. Then Revelation 12 talks about the woman and the man shout. Then Revelation 13, God now began to unveil the Antichrist. So look at Revelation 13, verse 1. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 6 so you can follow me. Now I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. These are grievous words. Yes. You know, God is word. You know, God himself is word. God himself is word. So they take him up on his own ground, in his own very nature, in his own core image and his likeness. He says, please go back to verse 1. I'll stop anywhere I want to stop. So, and I stood upon the sand of the seashore and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Alright, continue. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Okay? And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon who gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth. What was given to him? What was given to him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Then last verse, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. If you read that, I'll stop this Antichrist so that I can continue what I want to say. You see that their power is in their mouth and in their tail. Their power is given in their mouth. So all of those things, you see, all of those things you can see, it's just like a block. You know, if you have water is basically liquid. You should like go and refrigerate it and turn it into ice block. When you melt it, it will come back to water, right? You see, all of those sin, all of those iniquity, everything boils down to blasphemy. Everything is a voice that speaks to God. all the dimensions and the category of sin is a voice that speaks back to God. So, okay. So what have we established now? I was showing you that I started talking about words. I talk about how God made all the world, everything He has created. I talk about two kinds of words. I say that's whether the spoken one and even the one that is within, which is I told that one is the unseen testament, you know. Yes, the written oracles in the heart that God reads. That's a man looks at the outward appearance, but God reads the testament in the heart. So it is out of the abundance on that one that you speak. So the things you are saying is coming from another root. The word that you are speaking is coming from the word that is within. Praise the Lord. That's why I gave us an illustration that it was a sovereign existence. The word existed in God, even when it has not yet been expressed and spoken forth. It's a sovereign existence. So when I begin to hear Jesus speak, I'll begin to write it as the word of God. When he spoke to Nehemiah, you can see it was a sovereign existence, a sovereign nature that has now been translated and now been communicating to men. So it does not change. So it's the same thing. So we say, this is the word, everything he said, this is the word of God, because that was the very nature, and that's how we are. So you cannot say that, you cannot speak one thing and say it is a mistake. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, say not before the angel it was a mistake. Say not before the angel that is all a joke. Praise the Lord. So what I want to tell you is that in this world, you see, your words carry more essence and more tangibility than we think, and that we can even know on it. In this world that we can see now, what are the things that are tangible? What are the things that are material? You can see this pulpit, see these chairs, see this communion table. These things are real. But when you cross over to the spirit realm, they don't see these things. These things are no longer real. What is real and what is tangible is words. Words. It's real, it's tangible. And these are the things that the heavens respond to. These are the things that move even angels. When you see angel riding upon a cloud, you ride upon the cloud of words. Angel that does his bidding. So when you cross over to the spirit realm, some other things are tangible and real. Words. So praise the Lord. So that is a nature that God has, and that God implanted that nature and he gave it to man. So let's know, okay, we are made in his image and we'll just be floating in the air, not understanding what we are saying. That capability that God has, that he did not even share with angels. He shared that nature with us. And that's the capability that you have, that you can talk, you can communicate, you too, you know. In the same, the beginning was the word was the God, and the word was the God. You too, you have words. You are just, not just root in me that is in, you have an existence that is words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. What did he say? That as a man thinketh, as he thinketh in his heart. Look at it. Look at it. For what? As he thinks in his heart. Another, it's not just thought. Those things you are saying, maybe I was just thinking. No. I said those things are tangible. And God responds to them. So it's not just a... He said it's real. I'm showing you reality now. It's real. It's more of a stronger substance, even than the one you think is maybe okay. I just spoke and all of no. He said as he thinketh in his heart. I've shown you that word, for thou hast it in your heart. So God takes you up. That is a let me use the word. It's a reality that God responds to. See, as he's thinking, even if he says something else, that's why I say he said, come and eat and drink. Says he to you, what he's saying is different, but his heart is not with you. So what he's saying is different, but there is something else in his heart. It is that one that God holds as, that is the one. See, as he thinketh in his heart, that is the person. Praise the Lord. The word of God is God. So your word is you. It's not just that I am talking now to Olorun Femi. No. What you are hearing is David. So the word of God is what? Is God. So your words, they are what? They are you. You know, we used to categorize the word you, when we go to prayer, that's the word I think is important. I'll come to that. You know, yes. Even the word that you speak on the byway, there is no difference. There is, when I say words, there is no difference. Praise the Lord. Now, look at Luke chapter 12, that rich ruler. Let's see how God, Luke chapter 12, that... Let me get the verse. Luke 12. verse 16 to 18. Luke 12. Now, look at it. Verse 12 to 16. Okay, verse 16, sorry, 16 to 21. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich ruler brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? Continue. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall all those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, well, let's see the treasure of this man. Go to verse 16. He said, look at it. Too. This is the pattern. He said, this is how God will deal with all men. When you say, okay, 21. Please go back to that 21. He said, and so is he. He said, this is the pattern for all men. This is how I'm going to deal and relate with every man. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Let's see what the treasures are. Verse 16. Verse 16. He said, please wake your neighbor. Don't allow your neighbor to sleep. Okay. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Alright, verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, who did the man spoke to? Eh? But God responded to what? God mightily, mightily responded to what the man was speaking, saying. Because the man was talking. The man was talking. Maybe there was nobody with him in the room. He was talking. And he was talking, God was talking back to him. Yes. He was talking and God was talking back to him. Can you see? It's not the same what we read in Isaiah 14. For he said, thou hast said in thy heart. You know, and I told you the blasphemy, sin. The blasphemy against the, there is no redemption for that. Words. Can you see words? Can you see the pedestal that God places words? Can you now begin to, were you now surprised when he said that, he said, by your words. He said, by your words you shall be justified. And by your words you shall be condemned. Let me show you in Matthew. I'm still coming on how you can create your words. So, but I need to say this in so that we can understand, you know, where we are coming from. Okay. Matthew chapter 12. Is the same? Okay, Matthew 12, 37. Let's look at justification. Then from there, I'll now go to perfection. We'll now go to perfection. You think you don't have the liberty. This thing, so one of those assets you have, those things you guide diligently. Guide the words that comes out of your mouth. Number one, I told you two kinds of words. Then there's the one within. You say, guard your heart with what? You say, guard your heart with what? All diligence. You said, what did he say in 2 Corinthians? Is it 10 now? You know, having in captivity. He said, having every thought. He said, and you shall be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Can you see the weapons of our warfare? Can you see where it starts from? It's not by binding those witchcrafts, those witches and wizards, those enemies of my progress. Any man, any woman that will not make me to succeed. He said, they are pulling down strongholds. What are those strongholds? He said, casting down what? Imagination. And every high thing were here in the heart that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. You know, and having in readiness to avenge your, you know, all disobedience. Please let me call it off. Let me before we come back to this one. I'll come back to this one, but let me quickly establish that one. So you see why some people are not prospering after prayers. Because after you finish prayer, you undo everything that you have prayed by yourself. You have finished praying. You have believed God, then you go and wind it back. Okay. Please remind me if I forget. I'm going to call up a scripture in okay, but Toby, please position another scripture, Numbers 14:28. Now, you say, just Numbers 14:28, write it down. Then call up 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. If I'm correct. Now you say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm correct. Okay, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but born mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Okay, continue. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He said, I will ascend above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Is Isaiah 14. Can you see? Can you see? We say, for thou hast said in thy heart. Abi, is that not what we read? How is what to call sin? How it all started. You see, that is where you're going to begin your warfare from. From your warfare from. See, casting down imaginations and every height that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Because those thoughts are words. Words. And I've shown you from the Bible that God responds to them. Those, as you are talking, God is talking back to you. So, okay. Alright, go back to that Matthew. Matthew 12, 37. For how are you going to be justified? For by your words you shall be justified. And by your words you shall be what? You shall be condemned. Praise the Lord. You seen it? Okay. Justification. He said, by your words you will be justified. And by your words you will be condemned. This is Jesus that is talking. I'm not even talking. This is Jesus talking. This is not even one of the prophets. Though, of course, they also speak by the Spirit of God or one of the apostles. But this is the Lord Himself. Now, go to James. Go to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay. Verse 2. For in many things, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, but there is one offense that if you don't do it, if any man offend not in word, the same is what? That same person is a perfect man. You see, for in many things there are many offenses, but there is one particular one. But there is one particular one. There is one particular one. If you, you see, look at it. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, we don't talk about word. You know, it's so, because all of us can talk, there are so many things we commonize. Because we don't understand God. We don't, you know, that's why the place of revelation and light. In the beginning was the word. What was the word? The word was God. That is the very image and the similitude of God. And that capability gives it to man. You can't trade it anyhow. That capability, that ability gives it to man. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. Imagine God created man, all of us cannot talk. I wonder how this word will be. No, Ula perfected it. I'm telling you, Ula perfected it. Ula mastered it. So you might not even know that you have lost something. Yes, that's the truth. If you cannot talk, as God created us, He will have given us another, that dimension of Himself. He will not release us. But God gave us all. He gave us His word and He gave us His spirit. He put His spirit in man. When He created that man, I will say it before, now be dust. He packaged dust and put together. He gave that dust the ability to talk. Not just to talk with some animal talk. No, the talking is a different pedigree. He gave that ability to express in words. Lion can talk, but they cannot express in word. Abi? You just do sign. You know how those animals do. You know? Uh-huh. So God put His spirit. God has two things, His word and His spirit. Please touch your neighbor, you should not sleep. He gave us two capabilities, His spirit and His word. And His word. Now we have the Father, the Son. He was not the Son before. He was not the Son before. His Son because He entered the womb of Mary. Right? Because it was the Word. So we have the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. There are three that bears record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So He gave us words and He gave us His Spirit. God gave us everything. Everything. Praise the Lord. God gave us everything. Okay? So this is James, I say, let me read it again. So sweet to know. God help us. He said, for in many things we offend all, but he set aside one, like I said. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And able, he has the capability to what? Tame, to tame the whole body. Okay? How many of us know? I'm not open that scripture. We all know. He say, you shall give accounts. What are you going to account? He say, you shall give account of what? Every word. You know, if he has even said every word spoken, is still okay. He say, you know those moments of idleness. He say, every idle words. If he said words, you give account of your words. Of course, they are great words that are spoken in prayer. Abi, we are great words. He said, no. He said, you even account for the idle ones to set the record straight. Praise the Lord. Now, so, let me begin to tie it down, tie everything. They were asking Jesus one time that, should I eat this, should I not eat that? He said, no. It's not what enters into the what? It's not what enters into what? Into the belly. That defies a man. He said, what defies the man? He said, what comes out of the man? He said, that defies the whole man. It's what comes out of the man, what defies the whole man. Now, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. Okay. He said, do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. He said, neither you say before the angel it was a mistake, it was an error. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Your voice. And the work of your hands. Your voice and the works of your hands. Say not before the, you say, why should you? So I do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. And I told you that Jesus said that what comes out of the man, that is what defiles the man. He said, from the heart, what? Proceed what? What the first thing he mentioned? The first thing he mentioned is evil thought. That is the word within. If you look at that scripture is Matthew 15, verse 19. Say, for out of the heart, don't bother to open it. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, but the first thing, evil thought. That is the word that is within. As he thinketh in his heart, that is the man. So if God wants to know you, me, of course, I'll judge you by the things you say. I take you up on what you have said because I cannot see within. But man, I look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God looks into the heart and go and pick the oracle and the testament in the heart. Because it is out of that abundance that you are going to be speaking forth. You are going to be expressing yourself. Praise the Lord. So, don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called to account, you don't get by with sorry, I didn't mean it. Why risk provoking God to angry retaliation? Praise the Lord. So, I've spoken in one dimension. Now, let me tidy up the whole thing and just round it. All of these things I have done is not... It's just to allow you to see the extent, the potency of words. The potency of word, that word is a reality. It's a being. It's a sovereign being. Praise the Lord. It's not just something that you say. It's not that I'm a human being, I can talk. No. That's why I took us back to the very beginning so that we can understand. It's an existence, it's a being. It's a being. It's a sovereign existence. Praise the Lord. Now, and that by that same word, can you see now, by that same word, that's where I started from, that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. That same word, can you see what God has been able to do out of it? Out of it, the same capability that you have. That's why I say, you want to look at pattern. When you look at God, you also know how to operate and understand how you can live, you know, a total and a victorious life. Now, by that same word, you see, God created the heavens. God created the physical, all the creation, all everything you can see on earth. God created, he said, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and even the earth. The Bible went further to say that by the same word, they are being kept and preserved. In 2 Peter. Then Hebrews said that he upholds everything together by the power of his word. And God gave us, now we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and God gave us the same divine capability. And by that same capability, you are to create your own world. Praise the Lord. Now, the last thing I want to show is that even the New Jerusalem we are talking about, even the world to come that we are talking about, that world to come is going to be orchestrated and put together by words. Not just the word that God speaks, but the word that you speak. That's where I'm going to, that's the next thing I'm going to show you. So they say they knew all of those things by the word that you speak. Our responsibility is so huge, is so massive. That's why when God finished creation, it was Adam that named the whole creation. Adam that gave them name. So that's why Paul said we are laborers, we are co-laborers together with God. Now God sovereignly only, God alone built the first world. But the second world is not going to be built by God alone. It's going to be built in partnership with man. It's going to be built in partnership with the church. The world to come. I'm now talking about the world to come. Praise the Lord. The world to come is not going to be built by God alone. So most of us, we just have this man, let me make heaven. Because God is building that world. I go to prepare a mansion for you. When I finish preparing that mansion, I'll come and take you. So there's a mansion. Jesus is building his own thing there. I'm just here doing my own thing. When he died in it, I managed to escape and I enter that place. We are fair co-builders together. We design that world. Praise the Lord. So your ultimate inheritance in heaven, you are going to determine it. That's why they say the glories differ. There's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, and the stars differ in glory. The stars, they also differ. So we are going to put our inheritance together. Okay, now look at Isaiah 51 verse 16. I read a few scriptures with that, and we're talking about planting the new order, the new Jerusalem, the building that God is building in the spirit. That building will say that I make a new heaven, right? And a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth, God universally did it. But I'm putting it in the second heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. God is not going to universally do it alone. God is going to go do it in conjunction with man. Yes. God is going to do it in conjunction with man. So now, look at it. Isaiah 51 verse 16. I put my words in your mouth. Okay. I put my words in your mouth and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, you are my people. If you don't understand this scripture, let's go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 2. That the new structure that God is building in the spirit. Sometimes some of you have revelation, you see building. Eh? Abby, you have revelation, you see a building. John, when they showed him the bride, the building, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth coming. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. But last three verses. Okay. Verse 18, let me read from 18. For through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God in the Spirit. The building, if you now cross over to Revelation, it talks about the new Jerusalem. Let me show you. The very foundation and the gate of that city. Okay, sorry. Let me get the Bible verse where he spoke about, the gate of the city. That's Revelation 21. Look at it now. Now, verse 1. Let me read from verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, that's Revelation 21. Verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you now drop to where he now starts describing the city. Now, and he carried me, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That is the dispensation of Israel. What was done, that was the gate, that was the entrance to that city, because they were the gateway to the New Testament. They were the gateway to Christ. Christ came from, was the seed of David, right? Right? Was the seed of David. Okay. Now, you now describe, okay. Then, verse 13, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. You know, when God was moving the Israelites, he divided them, they come, 3-3, stay by the east side, by the west side of the tabernacle. Then, and verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. They were the one that built that foundation. So it was named after them. That's what we read in Ephesians. We have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Praise the Lord. The apostolic foundation and the prophetic foundation. Amen. So, and what were the instrumental that the prophet and the apostle used to build? Have you seen Paul before? But you fellowship with his words. His letters. His words. Praise the Lord. So, now, the new word, I say the new order, you know. The new word that was going to come is going to be built in partnership with man. That's why I keep telling you we should hasten the coming of the Lord. Everything we are doing on earth. Okay, look at Revelation 19. I'm showing you Revelation 19. Open to Revelation 19. Let me pick the verse. Revelation 19, verse 8. Okay, let me read from verse 6. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of sin, is the righteous act, the righteous deeds of the sin, what the sin did on the earth. So the clothing, that's why I say they clothed with fine garment. That's why I say that if you look at 2 Corinthians now, say that we groan, you know, to be clothed with our tabernacle from heaven. That mansion that Jesus is going to build, he's going to build for you. It's not like the mansions you have on earth where you live inside. Amen. Spirit, they wear their inheritance. That's why you saw Jacob wearing the coat of many colors. You wear is, you know, God is not a house that you wear your identity. It's a clothing, it's a covering. That's why it's like this body. It's like this body. That's why I say we be clothed with immortality and life. Immortality and life. So you say I go to build a mansion. No one has to stay, you lock it in the morning, go out and come back in the evening. Praise the Lord. Something you wear. He says you are clothed with fine linen, which is the righteous act of the saint, which is the inheritance of the saint. Praise the Lord. So spirits, they kind of they carried it within. Everything that God has, everything that makes of God is within. Amen. Is a within also a covering for him. So I've established something, and that Isaiah 59 that I read. He said, I put my words in your mouth. And I've covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. God has already laid the foundation. Which earth is he now laying under foundation? That is the new heaven and the new earth. And how is going to come about? He said, I put my spirit. How did God create the first world? His spirit and his word. Now, his man, now he's going to build the true man. And how is going to build the true man? He put his spirit in man and he put his word in man. Okay, look at another scripture. Isaiah. Isaiah 59. Verse 21. Okay, let me read it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you. Remember Genesis 1. The spirit was upon the waters. It's no longer upon. Now, God, it was upon the waters. Now, it's upon man. Because God is going to walk from man. God wants to walk through man. He says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth. So it carries the same potency. It carries the same power. It's not that man speaking words. He said, my word, I put it in your mouth. This time around, it's now going to come out of your mouth. This time, I put my spirit upon you, and my words shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. If you read Jeremiah 5:14, you see the same thing there. Praise the Lord. So now, what am I saying now? I say what? Through your words, you can build what? It's not a small thing. When you hear, okay, like, through your spoken, speaking word. Not just your spoken word in prayer. Not just your faith confession. You know, we limit it to faith confession. I'm saying to the totality of words. To the total, if you get it right in that aspect. Everything will work for you. There are something you not even talk. You not even talk, some things are working. That which is within is working. And that which is without is working. That if you are speaking is working. That if you are not even speaking is working. It's working. I say even God himself responds to that. Then what about creation? What about the things that are even created? What about the heavens and the earth? What about angels? If God responds to that which is within, what about angels? Praise the Lord. Now, something about the fool. What the Bible said about the food? Eh? Okay, yes, that is one. Then number two. Let me show you number two. Go to Ecclesiastes 10 verse 12. I want to round up 9. Just give me like, I think you can't exhaust these words in like that, but I'll just round it up. At least a lot has been said. A lot has been said to enter supernatural abundance. Then, have you seen Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12 to 14? The word of a wise, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Who will he swallow? The lips of a fool, who will he swallow? Death and life, where are they? Where are they? The life you create around you, where is it going to come from? Where is the source? Where is the source? Okay. He said, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool, verse 14, what does he say? Please read it. Let's read it together. A fool is also what? Is full of what? Words. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Okay. See a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than him. So, you know, I've shown you the other side now, so I'm switching over. Now, you see a man hasty in his word, any argument is there, right? When I said words, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Even the wine, you know, and everything, you are quick to talk. You are the first to run commentary. Any issue, you have a word to say. Amen. Any issue, you have a word to say. Jesus said, I have so many things to say. You know, but my Father tells me what to say and how to say it. I say, I have so many, he said, I have so many things to say concerning you. But because he that sent me is faithful, you know, and I speak to the word, those things that I've heard from him. Whether some of us, you just, you know, most times, you know, all of those arguments, most of the argument I do from very biased, misconstrued, you know. Because when God sees the whole detail, there's something about arguing from the outside. Arguing from the outside. You know? You argue from the outside, but when you go inside, you discover it's another different ball game. Praise the Lord. Those that have not yet married, they can tell you how Adeboye was preaching one day, one young man. He said, the young man, you were telling people how you want to, if you want to deliver, prayer and all of giddy, you know, if your wife want to deliver, you know, all this. When the wife wanted to deliver, so he now, you know, he was just driving deliverance, he just prayed, speak the word, you know, like that. So I heard in one of his words, so when the wife wanted to deliver, no show, things got so critical and so bad, you know, he was a champion, his championship failed. He has to resort to mercy, he has to start crying and people start to help him and encourage other people to help and pray and the wife deliver. So when you are not yet there, you know, the tendency to know it better than the people that are there, right? Right? Okay. Now, he says, see you a man that is hasty in his word. There is more hope of a fool than him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1-3. Keep thy foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and you are upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. Call of that one, I want everybody to see this particular scripture. Proverbs 17, 27, 28. He that has knowledge spares his words. Proverbs 17:27-28. He that has knowledge spares his word, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shut his lip is esteemed a man of understanding. But what did verse 27 say? Verse 27. Please, let's read the first sentence together. He that has knowledge, what does he do? Spares his word. But the one you know, words are not just the one you speak of, even the ones you write. It's all those things you write on social media. All these things you write on social media. It's still what? Words. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. Who wrote? Who did he write to? Who did he quote? He said, and the Bible says, and God said, we quote God in what Paul wrote to Timothy, because what? It was an expression of God's spirit. God put his spirit on Paul and he wrote. So every expression of your spirit is you. Every expression of your spirit is you. So both the one you put on social, all those ones you put on social media, you think is not word, is not spoken. You can go and write anything. So every expression of your spirit is you. Paul was my son Timothy. He was just writing a personal letter to Timothy, right? And we quote God inside. Who do we quote? Because it was an expression of God's spirit. Every expression of your spirit is you. And I told that your word is who? Your word is who? Your word is you. Praise the Lord. So what is the sacrifice of fools? What is the sacrifice of fool? He says it's known by his words. A fool is full of, a fool also is full of words, my multitude of words. Now, I want to close with this. Look at Proverbs 10. I'm going to read the 1, 2, 3, 4. Just Proverbs, the same Proverbs. Read some scripture. Proverbs 10, 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, 11. Proverbs 15, 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A man has joy by the things you say. What I'm saying here now, what I want to tell you now, you say your word comes back to you. Every single word you speak. Every single word you speak, it goes forth, it rebounds, and ultimately comes back to you. That's why God said, the word that proceeds out of, they will not return to me empty. Because God, when God speaks, his word comes back to him. He said, the word that I speak to you, they will not return to me empty. They are coming the purpose for which I have sent it. Jesus was the word made flesh. He said, and I go back to who? I go back to the Father. I go back to God. So your word, your speaking, every single thing you say, it ultimately comes back to you. So say, man has joy by the answer of his mouth, by his word. Determine it, because the word will rebound back into your life. So whether negative or else, even if you saw somebody else, don't forget that it's coming back to you. That word will rebound and come back to you. Okay, then the golden scripture we know. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 18 verse 20. 18 verse 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Now, Esau and Jacob, they were speaking to themselves, right? And he said, give me your porridge, sell me your birthright. Were they talking to God? Was he praying? But the God established that as an eternal covenant. They were just talking. Say, okay, sell your birthright, I'm hungry, give me porridge, don't give me porridge. All of those things, they were doing it at the backyard of their house or wherever they were doing it. I say, God responded to it from heaven. The Bible said in Malachi, said, they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. God had it and opened a book of remembrance for them. So this whole world was put together by the word of God. And God has given you that same capability to utter the same word. So it is by your word, you are going to create your own life. You are going to create your life on everything like a pool of water. Like you see a fish lives inside water. The water you are going to be living upon on earth, you are going to design and you are going to create it. God has given you that ability. And God is not going to be responsible. Being a man comes with so much responsibility. Comes with so much response. Praise the Lord. So I want you to stand up and begin to talk to your Father. Can you begin to talk to God? I told you on Sunday, I'm going to show you the pathway to abundance. Pathway to abundance. Pathway to abundance. Pathway to abundance. Words. Words. Every home is saturated. You know, in every home, every home is saturated with words. The climate, the atmosphere, that word, the totality of every word spoken in that home. The totality of every speaking forth. Words. Even a man's life, the totality of your words, speaking, spoken. Both the one outside and the one inside. Thank you, Father, we bless you. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Give you praise. Bible says, send forth his word and he healed them. Send forth his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent forth his word. The mystery that God sent is his word. The Bible talks about Joseph. that the word of the Lord tried him. Can you see the mechanism that God used to operate? If you are made in his image and his likeness, what are your tools? What are your mechanisms for operating in this world? Job was, why did Job survive that affliction? He said, though he slay me. Did you hear the words of Job? When God came to judge, what did God judge? God judged the three friends of Job because of their words. If Job had been speaking like them, Job would have died in that affliction. The highest that happened, God would take him to heaven. But he would have suffered on earth. Job came out of that furnace of affliction, out of that furnace of fire by what? By his word. Both the one he was saying and the one in his heart. He said, God, he slay me. He said, yet will I trust in him. He said, I shall behold my Redeemer in my flesh. In this same body that is eaten by maggots, that is decaying and is dying, in this same flesh I will see my Redeemer in my flesh. Those are the kind of things that Job said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Can you see the speaking force of Job? That is how Job came out. The Bible said, Job came out of that affliction. Job lost all his children. He said, God gave him children that were much more beautiful than every student on the face of the earth. And God gave him substance, wealth, that nobody was as rich as Job after the end of that affliction. Then even in James wrote in James 5, he said, you have seen the patience of Job. He said, I want to remind you the prophet that has suffered affliction as an example of suffering affliction. How many of you have afflicted here? As an example of suffering affliction. He said, you have seen the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. In your affliction, in whatever you are going through, there is an end. And that end is the end of the Lord. He said, you have seen the end of the Lord. You've seen the patience, you've seen the end of the Lord. How that God is very merciful and full of compassion. He raised Job out from the ashes and out of the dunghill. But Job had a responsibility to do. That's how God told the three friends of Job. He said, Job has to pray for them. If not, God was ready to destroy them. So Job, look at the new world that Job entered. The new world. Job created that world by his word. Job created that world. That new Job entered into a new reality, a new world. He created it. Some of you will soon get married. Some of you are married. The entire atmosphere of your marriage. This is how you create it. The entire atmosphere of your home. That your children, I want to tell you that even your children, they will grow up into words. They will grow up into it. Think it's just like prayer alone. I've told us here again, I heard it from R.W. Schambach. You cannot make up in prayer what you lack in obedience. You know, you cannot make up in prayer what you lack in obedience. Think, you know. So even your children, they grow up into an atmosphere of words that which has been powered down. Jacob grew up into that which Abraham had powered down already. He was just sleeping, he was not looking for God. He said he saw angels, he saw a ladder going to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. He was not looking for God, but God met him. This is what we are saying. This is how profound and how serious it is. Even life on earth, longevity of life on earth. Even longevity of life on earth. He said, Psalm 21. He said, I asked of him life and he gave it to me. Even length of days forever and ever. That was David. No man could take his life. There are also announced on earth that there are people on earth that nobody can take their life until they are done. Simeon in the Bible. Does not have a Bible for a perfect example. Simon. God told him that you will not die until you see the Messiah. He doesn't need to pray. That man now living as that prayer, oh Lord, let me not die or something. That means a foolish man. He said, you will not die. There are people that God has shown them the timeline of your life till they are 80 years. Till when they get to 80. These things are real. This is reality. These things are real. You know, we move by what we can see, what we can touch. No. This is reality. This is God. This is God. This is substance. This is tangibility. He said, Abraham believed God. What did he believe? He said, he believed his words. He saw something that was real and tangible. He held on to it. That's what faith comes in. Faith is like a hanger. It's like a hanger that hangs on something. It hangs on the word of God. Faith! It hangs on something. It hangs on something, the word of God. You are not saying it, you are speaking for it. You are believing, you are speaking for it. He said, though it tarry, he said, wait for it. He said, wait for it. Keep believing.
For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
ask Him tonight to put a nation on your heart.